But I'm going to share with you something today that I've been thinking about all day, last few days, actually. And it's a book that blesses me a great deal. Go to the book of Philemon. Just before Hebrews, all 25 verses here. And through the years, I've read this book, and it really has blessed me. It blesses me on a number of different levels. And if I can take the time with you today, it's not probably not going to be a super long teaching, but I just want to take the time with you today to think about things that maybe you have not thought of when it comes to this particular book. So Philemon is a personal letter, and this letter it's short, it's to the point. It's about a runaway slave, Onesimus. Philemon is a fellowship coordinator in the town of Colossae, and the Apostle Paul is in jail. The book of Philemon has got a problem in it. I mean, there's an issue here, because as we'll read, Paul being in jail, Onesimus is a runaway slave, and he has run away from his master Philemon. He's got born again. Paul got him in the Word, and now he's going to send him back. And there's a whole can of worms here when you consider this particular event. So we're going to start, and we're going to go through this, and I want to read most of it, and then we're going to talk about it. But it says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Just wanted to point out, Paul is only called a prisoner of Jesus Christ after Acts chapter 28. He's referred to as a bondslave before this. He's been in jail before this. But after Acts chapter 28, he refers to himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And that's literally and figuratively true. But the point here is that Paul will eventually not make it out of jail. But at this particular point, he thinks he's going to. So he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and our beloved Alphaea, Mrs. Philemon, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Archippus is the man who probably runs Colossae. Philemon is more than likely a fellowship coordinator, and he's got a church, he's got a fellowship in his home. You know, the church is in the home. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. I want you to consider what's happening here, because Paul's in prison in Rome. He got Onesimus, the runaway slave, in the Word. Now he has sent Onesimus back with another guy, back to Colossae, to deliver the book of Ephesians and Colossians and this personal letter to Philemon. The penalty for running away as a slave could be death. And so this is like a super serious situation. I doubt very much that that's crossing the mind of Philemon here, but you know what? I can't put words in his mouth because the scripture don't tell me. I don't know what Onesimus did. We don't know a lot of things. God is letting us know in this letter what's important to him. And what you can see when you look at each individual that's in this book, what you can see is you can see three men, three different points of view, and an awful lot of drama that's going on in the hearts and minds of the people. Can you imagine that all of a sudden Onesimus just showed up at the front door of Philemon this morning, knocked on the door, and handed him this letter? Hey, this is from Paul. You know, before he's arrested or whatever happened at the front door. And then he reads these words. He opens the letter and he reads these words. I'm Paul. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. The head of the church has just said to you, I'm a man who's in jail because of my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy and I are here, and you are my dearly beloved fellow laborer. And he says hi to the Mrs. Philemon, Alphaea, and Archippus, and the church in his house. So he wants everyone to get the greeting, but I can't just put yourself in his shoes here as he gets this letter from the slave that ran away from him. And he's obviously a God-fearing man. He's got a fellowship in his home. He's obviously a Christian. Paul's going to show he knows him well. He hears about him. He's got a great reputation. So Onesimus not only did him wrong by running away, but Onesimus also soiled his reputation in the community. Oh, you're such a great Christian, your slave ran away. It's kind of incredible. You know, but you have to, in 25 verses, you got to really put yourself in this. This is an illustration of how to walk as a Christian, this book. This is an illustration on the love that God has for his people. This is an illustration on how to be a leader in the church. There's a lot going on here in 25 verses. And he says to Philemon, he reads these words, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I bet you he needed it at the moment. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to think that the man who is responsible for moving the word is thinking of you each day in his prayers? You know, I just think it's an and I think, you know, personally, on a personal note, one of the reasons I read this book today was, you know, my good friend Gaspar Garcia, he's in the hospital, he's getting chemo. The doctor didn't give him good news. So he's either going to get his miracle or he's going to fall asleep soon. We're all hoping and praying for the miracle. But what is everything about? It's about love. It's about the relationships you have. I was thinking about Gaspar and the love that he has, the care that he has for his church, the care that we've had for one another over 30 years, the dignity that he has walked in. I mean, if I would go down the list of the kind of man he is, you know, it's just incredible. It's incredible. He's an incredible guy. But I'm thinking Philemon. He's got a reputation here. Look at this. I thank my God, making mention of thee in my prayers, hearing of thy love. I'm hearing in jail here. I don't know how. Maybe it was Tychicus or Archippus that was with him that was telling him of what was going on in Colossae. But I'm hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus Christ and towards this, all the saints. Your faith and love are in the ears of another wonderful minister. And he can tell. He has heard of your reputation, just like my friend. And this is for real. Your faith and your love. That the communication, that the behavior of thy faith, your behavior and your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That the effectual working of your faith can grow, can continue to grow. This is the prayer, this is the acknowledgement here. That it's going to continue to grow unto every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. As you walk by the Spirit, as you walk by the Spirit of God, I'm just praying for this great faith and great love just to be effectual. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love. Because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. And this word brother is brother of the same womb. Now, they weren't blood brothers, obviously, but it was the same spiritual womb. We're in the Christian family. And by the way, this is the most personal language that's possible in Greek. I think it's a second person singular. It's just loving. It's personal. And it's heartfelt. Paul thinks an awful lot about Philemon, doesn't he? Philemon's got a heck of a reputation. We're seeing the picture of what this man's about. And he's going to make a request to him that is going to challenge Philemon in a major way here. But I just wanted to set, God wants us to set this here, and he wants us to understand the character of Philemon. The reputation of Philemon, the fact that he is a leader in the church, he's got a church in his own home, and you know, this is all set in front of us. The saints are refreshed by you. So verse 8 says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee at that which is convenient. So I might be, I have the ability, I have the boldness, I have the ability, and I have the stature to command you to do that which is right or pleasing to me. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Second time he mentions it. I could command you, because I am the head of the church here. I am an apostle of Christ, and I can look you in the eye in this letter, so to speak, and tell you this is really what I want you to do. And with the reputation that Philemon's got, do you think that he'd fight it? Not at all. This is a believer. This is a man who understands. This is a man who's dedicated himself to following the Lord. This is a man who is loving and takes care of God's people. So Paul is going to switch things around, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, but he just says, I'm going to put this in your lap. I'm going to put this as your decision. I give you the respect you deserve. I trust you with the life of this man that I got in the Word. And then he says in verse 10, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus. Again, he says, Onesimus is like my kid. I got him in the Word here. I'm treating him and calling him my child, my son. So I beseech thee. I'm laying this thing out on behalf of my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. He calls it begotten. Bore him. But, you know, we're not talking about physically here. We're talking about he got him in the Word. See, when Christianity is a family, whether most of us believe it or not, and when I say that, there's so many different denominations, so many different opinions, so many different poor attitudes towards others who don't believe the same exact thing you do. It's foolish. It's all human nature, right? But it's not right. There are a lot of things that I do not believe, but I can love and I can care for people who are Christ. They are the children of God. They are my brothers and my sisters. You can't pick your family. Do you remember that? You go to Thanksgiving and you go to hang out with the family and you got Uncle Joey over there and Aunt Lou and maybe everybody doesn't quite get along the same way or believe the same thing or have the same opinion. Certainly politics has played a lot in that in the last couple of years, many years here with families and stuff. I hear stories. My family's very cool. But the point is, I would never let anything get in between the love that I have for the people in the family. They can all have different stuff, but you don't let anything break this. And Philemon, Paul is saying, hey, this is my son. Onesimus is my son. Now, who's Onesimus? He's a runaway slave. The Apostle Paul is beseeching another good, wonderful, believing man who is a leader in the church for this guy who has wronged him, who doesn't have a real good social stature. I mean, there's not a lot of good things going on here for Onesimus, right? Except for the point that he's your brother. He's my son. I got him in the Word. We're family now. This is Onesimus's, great advantage here. He's got the Apostle Paul begging for him. So I've sent him again. Oh, let me go back to 10. I beseech thee, therefore, for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Now, this is kind of like a joke. It's a play on words. The name Onesimus means profitable. So you know profitable? He was unprofitable, but now he's become profitable again to you and to me. Whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him as my own bowels. Receive him like you would receive me. Now think about that. I want you to take this man and I want you to receive him as if I was standing in front of you at your door here. That's a sacrifice on Philemon's part to consider this. This is abounding love on Paul's part to put him on the same plane as himself. It's also, and then it's got to be enormous faith and spiritual courage on Onesimus' part to be standing there. Can you imagine the amount of trust that Paul had in this man and the change that happened in his life to put Ephesians and Colossians in his care to travel the 700-800 miles it was from Rome to Turkey over land, which is no small feat back then. Maybe more than 700 miles, I'm not sure. But, and then to let this man get there and then put him in this situation. See, Onesimus is willing to, he is obviously a committed believer. He trusts Paul to send him. Paul said, I'd keep him myself. But he trusts Paul to send him. He trusts Philemon to do the right thing. He trusts the Lord Jesus Christ with his life. And he's willing to take responsibility for whatever comes his way. I mean, we got three points of view. And if you dig deep into this, this is really, this is a big deal. I mean, we're talking about real lives here, real heavy-duty situation. And now all of these individuals are challenged to do the Word of God. They are all challenged to practice their Christian faith. And you can see this in the book of Ephesians, of Colossians, of Philippians. You can see this in all the church epistles. You can see, this is what love looks like. You know? So he says, hey, receive him as myself. As my own bowels, the depth of my life. Whom I would have, 13, whom I would have retained with me. That in thy stead, that instead of you, he might have ministered unto me in my bonds in the Gospels. Now he puts Onesimus on equal terms with Philemon. He put Onesimus on equal terms with himself. I want you to receive him as you would me. And now I want you to understand that he could have ministered to me. I would have kept him. And he would have ministered to me the same way you would have. But without your mind, without your opinion, I would do nothing. That thy benefit, that your benefit, should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he, therefore, departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. and not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. You know, without your opinion, and again, look at the trust Paul has in Philemon. First of all, he is the owner of this slave, right? So this cost him, just like in terms of finances, this cost him money, cost him time, cost him projects and stuff that was supposed to be done. This was not just an inconvenience, it was also an insult. It was an insult because he was a trusted individual. Why he left, I don't know. You know, what crime did he commit? What temptation did he succumb to? God doesn't tell you anything. And I watch all these commentators guess. And they want to assign what the guilt must have been. I don't know why people do that. God don't care where you've been. He cares where you're going. And that's really the truth. Almighty God is not dragging up your past or mine and throwing it in our face. He's basically telling us, hey, you're my child. You guys are brothers in this family of God. All right? Receive each other like you're receiving me, one of the men with a better reputation. You know? And you know what? I would have kept him with me, but I'm going to do the right thing too. Paul's doing the right thing also. I wanted to keep him. He would have been a benefit to me, but you know what? It's more important that this situation is straightened out. It is more important that I do the right thing and that Onesimus does the right thing and that you have the opportunity now to receive the blessing, Philemon, by doing the right thing. And now you can receive him as a brother and not just for the remainder of his time with you, but a man that's going to be with you throughout all eternity. You know, and that's the great hope that we all have, right? I mean, through the things that we go through in life, we have the hope that is set before us, and we're going to be with each other, our Father and our Lord, for all eternity. You know, all those that have loved him. This life, it's a blink. It's just a blink. It's almost like a testing ground. And then you got eternity. That's something you keep in your head. So perhaps he departed from thee for a season, verse 15, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Perhaps, you know what, God was the one working this out. Maybe he's saying it like that. Perhaps he left you for a little while. He was a runaway slave, no doubt. He did wrong, right? But Paul is also interjecting the fact that maybe God's working this out because when he ended up here, he got in the Word. And his life got saved for eternity. So maybe just perhaps God was working. I don't know, maybe I'm throwing a little bit too much in there, but it's a thought. Verse 16. Don't receive him not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, especially a beloved, especially to me, but how much more to thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, if I, the Apostle Paul, you consider me a partner, someone who is working together with you, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or owed thee aught, if he owes you anything, put it on my account. I'll pay for it. I'll pay. Now, again, what was it? Financial? Emotional? I have no clue. But Paul says, I will pay the price for him. You put it on my account. I'll be liable. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? Again, this is a real situation, real life, but this is also how to practice our Christianity in love. It's bearing one another's burdens. It is substituting. It is sacrificing for the other. So if he is wrong, put it on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thy own self besides. And you know what? Don't even consider the fact that I got you in the Word and you owe me everything too. You know, I think it's supposed to be played down. In other words, and I'm not pressuring you because I got you in the Word. I'm not lording over you here. That's not the nature of the whole letter. I read one of the critics of the letter, oh, Paul's trying to manipulate this guy. You know what? These keyboard warriors and I just don't get along. You know? You get the heart and the soul of a man of God, Paul. He's taken the time to write a letter that's inspired, I believe, by God for one individual. How much is the individual cared for? Remember the parable of the sheep, the lost sheep? Remember the forgiving Father? Remember the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If one individual is one, all heaven rejoices. How much is it worth to spend time for the one? It just oozes how to live a Christian life. If he hath wronged thee, or owes thee aught, put it on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. No place else do you see that in the church epistles. I bet you he signed it. This is like his signature. I wrote this with my own hand. I guarantee it. Howbeit, I do not say unto thee how thou owest unto me even thy own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels. You take care of all the other believers that are there with you. Take care of me also, please. Minister to me in this. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. I have confidence in your obedience. What is it, to Paul? No, I believe it's to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know. Now think of this. So he said, let's just finish this. It says, but withal prepare for me a lodging. Make me, set me up a room, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Alpheus, thy fellow prisoner, and Jesus, in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Arcus, Demas, Luke, and my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you and your spirit. Amen. Now he's hanging out. So this is what I want you to think about. This is like 25 verses. It's jam-packed full. These are some of my thoughts on this thing. If the book of Philemon were a play, okay, it's an illustration. Most of the small books in the Bible are illustrations. They got a storyline, but they're illustrations of what, like the book of Ruth. Okay? But this one, if you thought about it as in a play, Philemon would be cast in the role of God. Paul was cast in the role of Jesus Christ. I'm willing to pay the price. I'm fighting for the individual. Onesimus is cast in the role of you and I. You know? The kind of love that God has and the kind of sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, the kind of forgiveness that is necessary for Onesimus and for the believers in general. It's like this little mini play. It's how to live Christianity in a really probably messy situation. How am I going to think about what do I have to do here? Just think of the forgiveness, where to forgive, that's necessary here. The practicing of forgiveness, of love, the care for one another. He wants us to walk like him. He wants us to act like him. He wants us to act like, you know, he walk in his steps. What would Jesus do in this situation? But he wants us to be gracious. Like, and caring, loving, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. I mean, all these wonderful things that we read in Ephesians, right? The things that you see in Jesus Christ's life. He wants us to lay down our lives for one another. Onesimus, it's Mother's Day, they probably sent you something. Onesimus is willing to walk up to this door, is willing to take responsibility for his life and his sins, straighten things out, and put his life on the line doing it. Because he trusts the Lord Jesus Christ and he wants to do the word. He wants to do the word. He wants to do what's right. You know, to reconcile within Philemon is going to be challenged to love, to forgive, and to bring reconciliation back. He's got to put to the side all the different things that have gone on. The hurts, the wrong, the expense, the embarrassment. He's got to put all those things on the side and do what the Lord would have him to do. To accept a brother, to forgive, and to treat him not like the Pharisees were doing, Remember the parable of the forgiving father, the second son? He was like the Pharisee. You never did nothing for me. Why is he getting a party? And I'm not getting anything. And he wasn't even happy that his brother was saved, that he was alive. How can another believer not be, no matter what's going on, not rejoice that this individual is going to be in eternity? There's so much that you could think about. Three different men, three different points of view. Think about, this is an illustration of Christian leadership. Look at the Apostle Paul here. I'm willing to take the time for one man. I am willing to put my reputation on the line for this man. I am willing to give him the word of God. God has inspired me. I'm willing to put it in his hand. I trust him so much. So he delivers it so that you and I still have it in our lap. And this guy's under pressure. If he goes back, he could face huge penalties. I mean, like I said, ultimately, a slave, a master's got complete control over the life of the individual. He can do anything he wants to him. But Paul don't believe that. Philemon is not that kind of man. But you know what? It's still in Philemon's hands because Paul put it in his hands. He didn't force him to do anything. He made the motive was love. The motive is you got the decision to make. It's you. If you do this from the right motive, God's going to bless you. But he didn't lord over him. He showed him respect. He humbled himself and left it in Philemon's hands how this was going to work out. There's a lot of trust right there. A lot of trust. A lot to acknowledge that God works in all of his children. And a leader in the church has got to believe that. I mean, when Paul would go as an itinerant preacher, you would see him, and it says in the book of Acts that he would commend them to the grace of God as he left the town. He believed that they would continue. He believed that God would continue to work with them and teach them. He continued to believe that they would hold forth the word and move it without his personal presence and help. And he wasn't there forever. He was there for a very short time, but he trusted the Lord and he trusted the people who believed. See, both Paul really loved and showed his love for both of these men without respect of persons too, right? Philemon, a leader in the church, prominent leader in the church in Colossae. Onesimus, a runaway slave, a sinner, a man who wasn't faithful and now has turned to the Lord who is faithful. He loves them both. He respects them both. He trusts them both. That's leadership. I mean, you got to have, you got to say something for that. You know, Philemon himself, he's a rich guy. I think he's a fairly wealthy guy. He's got a slave. He's got a house big enough to have the church in it, right? You know, he's challenged, he's been wronged, but you know what? He's got a reputation. He's got a reputation that reaches the hierarchy of the church all the way over in Rome, of his love, of his care for God's people, of how he ministers and takes care of each and every one of them. This is a great man. It's said, I read this, I don't know if it's true or not, that later on in the first century, Philemon becomes a bishop, quote unquote, in Berea. I don't know if it's the same guy. You know, that's church history. Church history and me don't get along because it ain't in the Bible. I don't know if it's true or not. You know, whoever writes history from a sense knowledge point of view are the people who won the war or got paid to write the books. You know, the Word of God is the will of God. That I'll take to the bank, and that I'll put my life on. What other people say about the Bible or what other organizations write as far as their history, it might be correct, it might not be correct. I can't guarantee it. But I know this, in the book of Philemon, we got nothing but praise for this wonderful leader in the church, Philemon. Onesimus, he is, I'll tell you what, he's got courage. He believes. I think of him like I've got great, wonderful believers that I've talked to. They got courage. They've overcome their past. They overcame their past not by dwelling on it, but by moving past it. You know, there are people who have been alcoholics and drug addicts and this and that and the other thing. You know, and they're just, it doesn't, they are what they are. They did what they did, but it doesn't rule them. And there used to be a time when in our country, you know, I don't know how to put it, there was a time where honor was more important than anything. Honor in your own life was more important than anything. And on the opposite side of that was shame. Okay, to be shamed. So men would literally defend their honor with their lives just so they wouldn't suffer shame. That was a whole culture. You know, and we're talking about hundreds of years in our country and then, you know, Western civilization. I mean, some, it took a little too far, some of it. You know, I mean, I think that's how Alexander Hamilton got shot in the duel, just because they're defending their honor. You know, in the culture that we have today, that doesn't exist. I mean, you could put it the extreme of, I don't know how you would describe the culture we got today. Well, depravity is what's going on, but it's certainly, you're not, what are people really willing to put their lives on the line for? You know, each individual, but it's not a culture. There's a culture of people that will, and then there's an entire culture of people that are cowards and would run away, take the easy way out. You know, so, you know, and I'm not saying that they weren't the same thing during the previous culture that I was talking about. But the point is, it was a major deal. Honor. And I think for the believers, I mean, you cannot stand and face 1,000 people or be willing to be stoned to death like Stephen and holding forth the word of God and have the courage to face your death in an angry mob and say that this is not more important than my life, what I'm doing here. You got to do the right thing. And I think Onesimus is in that category. He's willing to go back. He's willing to face the charges. He's willing to face the consequences. He trusts Paul. He trusts the Lord Jesus Christ. And he trusts a good, wonderful believer named Philemon to do the right thing. But it's all based on faith. Faith, and I have to do the right thing. He has to do the right thing. Paul has done the right thing. And you got to believe that God's working in the situation. Now, do I believe, this is my last point, do I really believe that Philemon doesn't tell us how it worked out? Sort of like the cliffhanger, right? Doesn't tell you how it worked out. But the fact that we have the letter and it was preserved pretty much is a really good indication that it did work out. Yes. So that's, I just wanted to share that with you today. And I think you can think about those three men. I think you can really meditate on this book and learn an awful lot. You can learn a lot about courage, leadership, for all these other things we've just talked about. And you can put a lot of these points all throughout the scriptures of how. Because you and I are faced every day with different situations. How am I going to handle this situation I'm in with this person? And how does it fit with what I, who I, and what I am? And what the Lord Jesus Christ has asked me to do and live.